This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up today, our buddy Paul Moyer will join us at 3 o'clock. We always look forward to a conversation with Paul, so make sure you tune in for that at 3 o'clock. The professor at 4 o'clock, as he is every day. And then Mike Varela of the Seattle Times, who covers the University of Washington Huskies, will talk to us about a new commissioner will be taking over things here. Before you know it, Mr. Scott is out. Defensive coordinator for the Huskies is out. So we got some things to discuss with Mike Varela at 5 o'clock. So I was eager to find out if DirecTV had the Pac-12 network. Yeah, I had DirecTV forever. Didn't get the Pac-12 network because they couldn't work out a contract. And then when I moved, I couldn't get DirecTV where I was at, so I got Comcast. Now I have Pac-12 network, and I lost track of what was going on. But according to our promo, still no Pac-12 network on the DirecTV subscriber list. So yeah. That'll be maybe this will be welcome news for those that want Pac-12 that have DirecTV, and he could never get that contract worked out.
Well, and so for somebody like me, for me anyway, I lived on the West Coast my whole life pretty much, and except for a 3-year stint in Denver, lived in Arizona for a little while, but I mean that's still Pac-12, you know, territory, and that's really all I cared about was Pac-12 football, Pac-10 football back in the day. So yeah,
you might have been Pac-8. Huh?
No, not quite. Bob. That was Warren Moon era.
Was it okay?
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, it's it was frustrating for I know a lot of people. There was lots of complaining about that.
Yeah, so we'll definitely get into that coming up at 5 o'clock today. I wanted to hit what we've seen, and I'm not going to present this as a majority or an overwhelming opinion by any stretch, but we've certainly seen it more than you would ever think on the heels of a very disappointing end of the Seahawks season. And then we talked about some of the criticisms and, you know, Russell's too short or Pete's too this or they don't do that. But one of the things that we kept seeing, and I think it's on the heels of Deshaun Watson being unhappy and wanting his way out of Houston, is trade Russell Wilson. Trade him. Some just trade him, period. Some trade him for Deshaun Watson. And I'm sitting here thinking, why? I think people have forgotten how hard it is to find a franchise quarterback. I think they've forgotten what he's achieved. We had somebody texting yesterday ripping you and I basically like, what are you two idiots looking at? He's a mediocre quarterback that was, you know, held together by a defense. I'm thinking, well, I'm looking at a guy that's won more games than anybody in his first 9 years outside of Brady. And he's got, you know, his touchdown to interception ratio is just ridiculous. A career quarterback rating of 101 point whatever and Super Bowl winner. I guess that's what I'm looking at. But you tell me. Tell me about the success of the Cleveland Browns and the Chicago Bears and the Washington football team and the Miami Dolphins. And we can go through. I was searching last night trying to find, you know, a list of quarterbacks, you know, for each franchise. And the best I could come up with, you know, without just spending all night on this, was a tweet from Spotrac that came out earlier this year. And it just showed the numbers of starting quarterbacks in the Tom Brady era, right?
Right.
So, and that started when, Maura? When was the, I'm sure you've got the date tattooed on your wrist.
Was it 2000 or 2001?
No, I want the exact day and time.
He took over for Bledsoe in 2001.
So since then, this is it. Starting quarterbacks in that era, since 01. Arizona has had 20. Buffalo has had 18. Chicago, 23. Cleveland, 26. Denver, 19. The Rams, 20. Minnesota, 20. Oakland, 20. Washington, 20. Seattle, by the way, 7. You look at all of them, 16, 15, 20, 19, 18 for the Bills. Carolina, 17. I mean, it's look at how much effort, how much money, how much draft capital is spent in search of the elusive franchise quarterback.
Right.
And now you have one. And because you're upset about how things turned out this year, and I understand in previous years, I'm not a fan of getting bounced in the wild card and divisional round each and every year, but you have won a Super Bowl, and you got back the very next year. And some now believe that's in spite of Russell Wilson, not because of. You got to look and see how much effort and money and draft capital is spent trying to find somebody like him. It's like trying to find a productive center in the NBA. Right. And the Sonics were the worst at it. Year after year, just name after name of guys who were just stiffs. It's elusive. It's really hard to find. And you got one, and now you want to get rid of him. And I don't quite get it. I understand being mad. I don't understand now that he is a problem rather than a solution.
Well, and the only saving grace of the argument and even having the discussion is that Deshaun Watson is a really good player. I've admired him. And, you know, he's just one of those guys I feel like I've always really liked. I think he has some of the same qualities as Russell Wilson. But, I mean, this is just, you know, I told you I would probably, you know, intersperse throughout our conversation some of these things that Russell has done. Here's one, and this is something that we get every week before the broadcast. Brian O'Connell, our executive producer, puts together all of these stats and things, mm-hmm. and there's an entire page of Russell Wilson stats, and they're not just, you know, his stats, and, oh, these are pretty good. These are, for example, Wilson and Peyton Manning are the only players in NFL history with 3,000-plus pass yards and 20-plus TDs in each of their first 9 seasons. Okay? Mm-hmm. And Manning did it for 13 seasons. But 3,000-plus pass yards, 20-plus touchdowns in their first 9 seasons. And guess what? Russell did that with 500 less pass attempts. 500 less.
That's over a season's
than
worth.
Than Peyton Manning. Exactly. So, I mean, it's just, you could go on and on with all of the different things. You know, has 35 career games with at least 3 touchdown passes and a passer rating of 100 or higher, surpassing Peyton Manning, 34 games for the most such games by a quarterback in his first 9 seasons. So, and going back, and, you know, we'll get to more of these stats. Remember how painful that was when they were going through that period of time? And you mentioned all these other teams. Was it 23 in Chicago?
Yes.
You know, I mean,
you could argue they've never really had a franchise quarterback. They go back to Sid Luckman and Jim McMahon.
Right.
I mean, those are that's their shining moment. In the Cleveland Browns, it's Bernie Kosar.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, you look at it, that's first round pick. Tim Couch after Brandon Whedon, after Johnny Manziel, after Baker. These are first round picks, high end first round picks, wasted.
And this was a third round pick.
Yeah.
This is a third round pick. So, I mean, that's the thing that, you know, Danny used to bring this up all the time. I thought it was a really good point, is that, you know, the only thing worse than not having a franchise quarterback is having the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Stafford. I mean, Matthew Stafford, as you like to say, Bob, he's a nice quarterback, right?
He's good. He's a talented quarterback.
Right. And he's actually second in Russell, and Russell has the 35 come from behind wins in the fourth quarter and overtime. And he's second, I think, on that list with like 32 or something. So, yeah, he's a good one. But, you know, it hasn't worked out. It hasn't taken them to the playoffs. It hasn't gotten them a Super Bowl win. Hasn't got them into the Super Bowl twice. I mean, that's the thing that with Russ. And so when you I would make the case that he might be the most disrespected quarterback in NFL history. and again, I mean, I talked to somebody one time that said, well, yeah, I like him, but he's just so short. And this is an executive in the NFL. So, I mean, look, and I know lots of people in the NFL, and I'm, you know, they come and go, and this was a few years ago, but still, man, I can't believe when you look at the stats and, you know, it just goes on and on and on. We do a stat of the week. You know, it's what's his record? I think now it's like 38-6 after a loss in regular season, something like that. You know, so he doesn't lose back-to-back games. I mean, he's just a winner. And that's the thing, you know, over the weekend or 2 weeks ago, it was Wilson's 16th playoff start. Only Tom Brady had more in his first 9 seasons.
Yeah, but he's being carried by the defense.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you haven't been able to say that for years now. It's just, and again, I'm not trying to present this as a majority. This is a small vocal minority, but it's become more present, obviously, on the heels of a very disappointing end. And I'm right there with you. I watched that game. I'm not absolving Russell of anything. That's the worst I've seen him play in a long time. He was atrocious, flat out. I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything. Terrible game from Russell Wilson in that game, but he was not alone. It was not all him. He's had some bad game. He is capable of stinking it up like any other player out there, and he did. But overall, to sort of look at that and say, well, that's who he is now. It's time to move on from him. He's now a problem and not a solution. And again, it's a minority, but I'm seeing it on Twitter. I see people text in with it. I'm like, do you really believe that? Do you really Is that really what you think? So I guess my question is, all right, hypothetically, let's play the hypothetical. You're going to trade him. Who do you trade him for? Who's better? Who would you rather have as your quarterback? Patrick Mahomes is the only guy I could say. If Aaron Rodgers were 32, 31, 30, younger, I'd say Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
Rodgers
the same age as Wilson? Yeah.
Yeah, Wilson's 32. But Aaron Rodgers right now is 37. And he's going to be the MVP this year. He's stellar. But how much time is in front of him, right? I mean, Tom Brady, greatest ever. He's 43 years old. So would you trade him for somebody that you believe has some promise, some potential to potentially be better? Would you trade him straight across for Watson? Is Watson proven more in your opinion? Absolutely not. Not even close.
Right.
Hasn't played in the league as long, obviously. But, you know, he just got out of a dreadful season. And for his team, he had a good season. Kyler Murray, you going to trade him for him? You going to trade him for Herbert? You going to trade him for Joe Burrow? Josh Allen? Tua? Tell me who do you feel better if the game is on the line? You need a drive. You're down by a score. You've got 2 minutes left and no timeouts, whatever situation. Game on the line. Which quarterback do you think gives you the best chance? You've seen it. You just brought up how many come-from-behind wins he's got in his career.
Right.
I mean, that's what he's built his reputation on almost more than anything else he's done, is being that clutch guy. That doesn't mean it happens every single time, but it feels like it happens more often than not, and you're sort of surprised when it doesn't happen because it's happened so often. So I guess my question, if you're one of those people that feel like he's not going to get better, he's only going to get worse, trade him now, get what you can for him, whatever your reasoning is, you want to get rid of him, who would you rather have? Let's remove Mahomes. I think Mahomes is a pretty obvious answer. So I would remove him. Anybody else in the league, who are you taking?
Right. Well, here's the thing. You talked about him being a winner. Early on, yes, he was more of a game manager, and he was more of a product of a really good running game and a really good defense.
Of which he was a part of. I always feel the need to point out, ran for 849 yards in a season.
Right. So he has 33,946 passing yards, 4,500 rush yards. Him and Steve Young are the only players in NFL history with 30,000-plus pass yards and 4,000-plus rush yards. So he can do that. He can be a game manager. And he's also one of 10 players to throw 40-plus touchdown passes in a single season in NFL history. He's the 10th quarterback in NFL history with 40 touchdowns. Passing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's just passing. So, you know, he can do everything, plus he wins. And that's the main thing. And I'll point out one other thing, and it is kind of ridiculous to sit here like I'm selling people on this, but and it's not that drastic, as you said. It's not like everybody's saying it, but I think it's good to kind of get, you know, take a step back and get some perspective. 144 straight starts in the regular season. He's never, I mean, the durability, the only guy that has more is Philip Rivers, who just retired, and he's like at 200 or something like that.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the main thing. I mean, he's never hurt. I mean, Mahomes had his kneecap popped
dislocated.
Off, right?
It popped off.
Yeah, I mean.
picked it up, taped it back on. He's good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he missed two games or something like that, but. You know, and then he missed part of the game the other day. We just haven't seen that. You know, I remember in the playoff game against the Packers in 2014 season. It was actually 2015 technically, but I mean that was the NFC Championship game where he just got rocked by Clay Matthews. You know, and that was a helmet to helmet hit that, like, you know, I think there was an unnecessary roughness penalty on that one.
I don't know if he got a flag on that hit. I can't remember. All I remember is just being stunned, shocked, and amazed that he got up.
Right. Yeah,
I was more hurt from that hit than he was.
Yeah,
it hurt me to watch it.
Brent Stecker said it gave him a concussion that he didn't recover from until the fourth quarter.
Probably
the Stecker theory. Yeah, 710sports.com. Brent Stecker, we had that theory as one of his many. But yeah, I mean, you see what happened with Mahomes, and he just, you know, he didn't get hit in the head. It wasn't that hard of a hit.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, the durability.
He wasn't even hit. He got tackled.
Yeah, it was just a regular tackle. So, I mean,
somebody's saying he did get a flag on that play. I couldn't remember.
For some reason, I couldn't quite remember either. But apparently, yeah, they did. And, you know, nowadays, they might have kicked Clay Matthews out of the game.
He might have been banished from the game.
They might have put him in jail.
Yeah.
Take him downtown. But, yeah, I mean, it just every way. And again, Russell doesn't need me to sit here and sell him. But, you know, that was one of the things I was kind of proud of. Like, let's do a Russ stat of the week because, like, you know, we do keys to the game, and Rabel always comes up with these, you know, five keys that are important for this particular game, having looked at the opponent and everything. But there are so many of these that I could just go on and on. You know, and then the franchise stuff, franchise single season record for completions, 384, and touchdown passes, 40, you know, and that's pretty good quarterbacks that were here, Dave Craig and Matt Hasselbeck. So, I mean, you know, a lot of the stuff with the franchise is, you know, not as impressive, but when you start looking about around the league and who's mentioned in these, you know, Wilson's the third quarterback in NFL history with 30 or more touchdown passes in at least four consecutive seasons. Who else? Brett Favre and Drew Brees. So, I mean, the company he keeps in all of these, and I'll stop with the stats, but, I mean, it's amazing. And as you go through them, you start to see durability. He can run it. He can be a game manager. He can be part of the running game, and he can throw it. And mostly, he's a winner, especially in clutch situations. So, no, there is no quarterback like that out there. There just isn't. I mean, Mahomes has not compiled that yet.
Not yet.
You don't know if Patrick Mahomes is going to stay healthy.
You don't know. You're talking about where everybody sits right now, where they're at physically, where they're at with their age, where they're at with their resume. Who would you trade him for? Outside, I think Mahomes would be the obvious answer. I feel like that would be the overwhelming answer. And again, if Aaron Rodgers were 32 or younger, I would definitely say Aaron Rodgers. He's one of the best to ever do it. I got people texting in saying, well, what about trading to Jacksonville for the first overall pick and get Lawrence? Lawrence is potential.
Do we know?
He may be great. He may be a complete bust. You've got no idea. I mean, I'm not rooting against him by any stretch, but as you brought up the other day, bird in the hand. You know exactly what you have and what Russell does against elite-level competition in the most pressurized moments with millions of people watching and the game on the line. You know what he's going to do. You've seen it year in, year out. You've seen him reach the mountaintop at the highest level. Lawrence has yet to take a snap at this level. We have no idea. He may end up being the best ever. Don't know. There is that potential. But there's also that potential he could be Jamarcus Russell. He could be Jameis Winston. Or maybe something in between. Maybe he's good, but he's not great. You know, I mean, it's such a crapshoot. You just don't know. He's got the intangibles, but for whatever reason, players often, and the Browns and Bears can tell you this, the skills don't translate. For whatever reason, maybe it's the organization, maybe it's the coaches they're with, who knows? But, you know, first round pick after first round pick has been blown on quarterbacks that amount to nothing.
Right.
And you've got one that's not even a first round pick, a third round pick, who's getting you to the playoffs every single year. And you could argue without this year, more responsible for them being a 12-win team and getting into the postseason than maybe any other season previous. That defense was historically bad, and yet they were winning games. And he doesn't do it alone, but you don't do it without him. They are not a 12. They're nowhere near. They're a losing team in a very big way this year without Russell Wilson. This is maybe a 4-win team. If Geno Smith, if he gets knocked out in game one against the Falcons and Geno Smith takes
with
over,
that defense?
You're not only are you losing, you're getting brutalized.
Right.
And you're probably, what, a 3-4-win team at best, maybe? So, you know, this 40 touchdowns in a year where the defense was offering nothing for, the first 9-10 games of the season. And so it's interesting to see it, and I understand it. But when you talk it through, you're going, okay, well, man, he really has achieved a lot, and he really is about as reliable as it gets. And yeah, he did stink in that game, no question about it. But the idea that it's now time to move on and that there's all these other options, and you just trade him for draft picks. Well, There's no promise behind any of that. There's no certainty to any of that. There's certainty to Russell Wilson.
Well, there's not. I don't think there's a sport, and I'm biased, but where it's the most difficult to predict who is going to make the jump from college to pro. So when it comes to a guy like Trevor Lawrence, yeah, he looks like a sure thing. Sam Darnold looked like a sure thing. It's not over for him yet. But, you know, what was he, the fourth pick in the draft?
Darnold?
Yeah.
No, he was higher than that, I think.
Or second or whatever. I mean,
I'm just on record of not being a big fan of his.
Well, I know,
college.
But see,
at
that's
a college,
my, but that's my point. I mean, is that, you know, coming out, everybody thought that he was this great quarterback, and you know,
he was the third pick.
Yeah, third pick. I mean, there's quarterback coaches that are really good that I respect that thought that. And we'll see. It's not over for him, but it's just such a difficult transition to make. And it's the hardest position to play in any sport is quarterback, and you've got a guy that can do it in all of those different ways.
All right, let's take two.
Take two. Some sad news in the NFL world today. Former Packers GM Ted Thompson has passed away at only 68 years old. He stepped down as GM in early 2018 after he was diagnosed with an autonomic disorder. He was inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame in 2019.
He's a name I heard a lot. Like, I never had a chance to interview him or interact with him on any level, but I knew people that knew him, worked for him, worked around him. So he was one of those guys you were just very aware of, just from my perspective, and maybe you had more interaction, but just a guy that seemed universally respected and loved. So incredible. I don't have a lot of personal information on him, but obviously a lot of success and a lot of respect.
Yeah, he was here for a little while. I think I might have talked to him. That was early on when I was working, but very, very sad that he's gone. But 2000 to 2004 is VP of football operations. And he was also, there's a story about him being consulted by Ron Wolf, who was the then GM for the Packers in 92, and said, "I'm thinking about trading for this guy, Brett Favre, a first round draft choice." And I think it ended up being the 19th pick, and Atlanta got some running back for it that I don't think anybody's ever heard of, and I can't even remember his name right now. But, you know, he was the kind of, you know, endorsed that trade, thought it was a good idea, and, yeah, really sad that he's gone. He's been, you know, one of those guys that I know John Schneider really admires and has worked with before.
Larry Scott's 11-year tenure as Pac-12 commissioner will end in June. In the conference's statement, they said now is a good time to bring in a new leader who will help us develop our go-forward strategy.
Yeah, we touched on that to open the show. We'll talk to Mike Varell from the Seattle Times at 5 o'clock, who covers that. I don't know that a lot of people are shedding tears. Larry Scott didn't seem to be a very popular individual for a lot of different reasons, And the Pac-12 network not achieving the levels of status that a lot of people felt it should. Obviously, the back and forth between that him and DirecTV not getting it on DirecTV. A lot of Pac-12 fans going without that have DirecTV. So I heard, you know, from people like Danny and people like Salk hated it. Just so many people had a real issue with the guy. So I don't think a lot of tears are going to be shed over this move.
Yeah, he's kind of an interesting guy. He was known for spending money on himself and, you know, maybe a little bit flashy and some of the things that he did. I think he was big into tennis at one point before he became the Pac-12 commissioner. But you're right. I mean, it's not very often. Like, didn't it seem like we heard his name a lot?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
never in a positive way.
Right. And then, you know, usually like the ACC or the SEC, you don't really know who the commissioner is.
Yeah.
Maybe in those regions they're more aware of it, but it just seemed like he was in the news a lot.
All right. Coming up, the Seahawks aren't the only playoff team facing criticism over their offense. We'll hear from another head coach in the same boat and compare his reaction to Pete Carroll's. That's coming up next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up at the top of the hour, Paul Moyer will join us on the program, so stay tuned for that conversation. Also, in about less than 15 minutes, we're going to continue our Seahawks free agent countdown. We started it yesterday. What we're doing every day is just taking a segment and looking at a handful of the free agents that the Seahawks have sitting in front of them on their roster. And Dave and I are going to make a determination. They stay or they go. Purely business. None of it personal.
Nothing personal.
Purely. We had three yesterday. Only one was staying. So we'll see what happens today with our group. We got a couple more today, so we'll go through that coming up in, like I said, less than 15 minutes. But Pete Carroll is not the only coach. I saw this story last night and thought it was interesting. You know, Pete Carroll's being called antiquated, old. We played, who was that goofball we played yesterday? Nick Wright. Was it Nick Wright? Is that his name? Yeah, a 70-year-old coach who's out of touch and, you know, all that nonsense, you know, because he wants to run the ball. Somebody else is getting some heat over that, and that would be John Harbaugh getting it out there because they'd – now – they're not a very good pass. I think they may have been last in the league in passing, but they have been above and beyond a rushing juggernaut, I think, the past couple of seasons, most notably because of their quarterback, and it's been incredibly effective. So why wouldn't you do it? But
He's taken a lot of criticism for that, and here's Harbaugh defending that run-heavy approach.
It goes back to the same criticism that we've heard for the last 3 years about not being the type of an offense or the type of a quarterback that some people want to see, and that's just they're just going to have to live with it because Lamar Jackson's won a lot of football games here, and our offense has won us a lot of football games here, and we're not apologizing that for 1 second. We are going to improve it, no question about it. We're going to go to work to be more precise, more efficient, better at what we do. That's what we have to do, be better at it. And we'll leave the criticism to the critics, and when they're ready to coordinate their offense and put their product on the field, I'll be looking forward to competing against it.
Now, there's a line that you wouldn't hear from Pete. Pete's not going to go snarky with people and like that. But he's right. They've had incredible success. No, they haven't won a Super Bowl yet. We'll see what happens with them. But you've got an incredibly tough individual to deal with, that quarterback. And he's that extra meeting guy, as you point out, about players. He's the guy when you're facing the Ravens, that's what you're doing as a defense. I could picture you in a film room sitting there with your coordinator going, all right, this is what we're going to do to try to slow this guy down because he is that dangerous. Ran for over 1,000 yards this year, had 7 rushing touchdowns, had 26 passing touchdowns. What they do is effective. Maybe it's not as appealing. I don't watch Ravens games week in, week out, so I don't know what it's like to sit there for 4 quarters of that. Maybe it's dull. Maybe fans are like, oh, geez, all right, throw the ball once in a while. I don't know. I'm not sure what their reaction is, but they're winning. Right. They won the Super Bowl, but there are a lot of teams that aren't doing that either. You only got one winner at the end of the year each and every year. So it's interesting to hear him under the same level of scrutiny. Now, I don't know if anybody's going, well, he's old, he's antiquated. I'm not sure what they're saying, but he's certainly responding to some heat he's taking about that.
Yeah, well, and I like his response there. I wouldn't mind hearing that out of Pete. And I'll put my product up against theirs anytime they want. But yeah, I mean, look at what he's been able to do since he's been one of the more sort of quietly really good coaches since 2008. He's 129-79. So and then
they were 14-2
right
before this season. And then what did they win this year?
11-5,
14-2. So
and Lamar Jackson's first year, 10-6. Now I mean,
won the division.
Right, and he took a little bit of a drop-off, just a little bit, though. I mean, he was 64% completion percentage, 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Quick Lamar Jackson story, this is when we were on the road in 2019, guys were getting ready for the L.A. Ram game and watching the early game on TV as they ate their, pregame meals. Mm-hmm. And the Baltimore Bills game was up there, and Lamar Jackson juked somebody out of their jock strap, and all of the offensive players were like, wow, look at that. And all the defensive players were like, oh, no. I mean, that guy is and I think the reason why I'm bringing it up is I think that he has done a good job of putting him in. And they have a running game with Greg Roman that I really like. And I mentioned that when we were talking about offensive coordinators that, he's not I guess it's refreshing that he is getting criticism over running the ball as well, because they run the ball really well. And it's kind of like a caveman type of running game. I mean, they're going to, like I said, overwhelm you at the point of attack. I mean, they're going to run a fullback up in there. I'm not sure if they had this last year because I didn't watch them that much this year either. But when we played them last year, they had a defensive lineman that came in as a fullback every once in a while. And then, they would go heavy with all their tight ends, pulling guards, having offensive linemen come in and check it. And then, you have Lamar Jackson running the ball. And now you're facing 11 players instead of 10 in the running game where, usually the quarterback hands the ball off and he's a dead player. So, yeah, they've figured out how to get numbers in the run game. And that's modern. That's creative, And now all of a sudden he's getting, like I said, it's kind of refreshing that he also is getting that same type of criticism.
Yeah, they led the league averaging 191.9 yards per game.
Right.
191.9.
Well, and some of that you'd say, well, Lamar Jackson scrambles and everything, but there's also a lot of designed running plays that they have for him.
Yeah, and they were 7th in the league in scoring, 29.3 points per game. So maybe they're not getting the points the way people want to see, perhaps, or maybe they just wait until, again, I think there's always a strong reaction to when a good team loses, right? You want to find reasons. You want to point your finger and say, well, they can't pass the ball. Guys got to learn, yeah, go ahead and run it. That's not working. That got you 14-2, but it didn't get you through the playoffs. Something similar to what's going on with the Seahawks. Yeah, you got 12-4 is a great regular season. What does it matter if you get bounced in the wild card or the divisional round? So I understand that sort of hand-wringing or angst, but to say you're not going to win that way or why are you continuing to do it that way? Well, the coach is going, hang on a minute. We just had a 14-win season, 11-win season. We're in the postseason. You've got a lot of teams that never even get there. They're sitting on a couch watching us play while we've got a chance to get to the Super Bowl. Doesn't mean you're going to get there, but we have the opportunity based on the way we run our offense. Mm-hmm. Talk to the coaches and players that are sitting on the couch eating chips that have no opportunity, and maybe they've got a really exciting offense, but where did it get them?
Right. Well, and I wonder if he's getting the same type of criticism, and they're talking about the same thing, you know, in Baltimore, because Harbaugh won in 2012, won the Super Bowl. Remember, beat the 49ers.
Yeah.
And then since then, they've lost to New England in divisional games. The wild card game they lost against the Chargers.
You think they want Flacco back?
Yeah, they lost to Tennessee in the divisional game and then lost to Buffalo in the divisional game. So, but, I mean, of his 13 years there, Harbaugh, he's 8 of them have been double-digit wins. So, yeah, good for him for coming out and, you know, kind of taking it to the media but you know, look.
Could you argue they're spoiled out there as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. I mean, and really, they didn't make, there was a stretch between 15, 16, 17. Well, let's see, 13 through 17, they only made the playoffs once in 5 years. So, you know, I guess a little bit more criticism there. But yeah, like he said there, he kind of with a chuckle, he's like, yeah, Lamar Jackson's won a lot of football games.
He was the MVP.
10 games, 14 games, last year 11 games. So, come on.
He's rushed for over 1,000 yards the last 2 years, your quarterback has.
Right.
You know, and it's how you're winning, right? The Chiefs are throwing the ball. These guys are running the ball. Everybody's your destination is still the same. How you get there is not as important. Just get there. Give yourself a chance. Be in the mix. And they are. And do I think he's the greatest quarterback? No. I said after his 14-2 season where he put up those numbers, teams are going to figure, you know, like anything else, it's not a bold prediction. Teams are going to watch and go, okay, here's how we're going to counter that. Here's how we're going to defend him. Doesn't mean they stop him, but he wasn't quite as effective as he was the previous year. Teams figure it out. He's going to have to develop his game and keep that progression going as a passer as teams become more and more schooled on how they're going to limit his effectiveness. That's just football, right? Any new offense we see, whether it's the wildcat, the run and shoot, the this, the that, it's you know, seems devastating for a moment, and then teams figure it out. Same with players.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, and also, I think it just it brings a lot of perspective to fans here that are complaining about not having been to the NFC Championship game in a long time. So it's hard. It's difficult. You know, this is a good team. I mean, John Harbaugh's done a really good job with this team, but, you know, I'm sure they're complaining there. And I remember thinking that last year, especially when they're 14-2, and they lose in the opening round, you know, the divisional round. You know, what was it like to do talk shows back there? I mean, what were the radio hosts talking about?
Yeah.
You know, do they want Harbaugh's head over it? I mean, how terrible this is. But it just gives you a great perspective of the fact that it's just really hard to win in the playoffs. You have to have a lot of things go your way. And, you know, in the end, only one team wins, but it's difficult to get there. And if you're a coach and you have a quarterback that is consistently, like Pete, 9 out of 11 times you've made the playoffs, and for him, it's 9 out of the last 13 times and a Super Bowl win, you know, just, I mean, it's difficult to do.
Yeah, it's just interesting to hear, you know, and there. Listen, I'm sure if we traveled to every city of a team that's not in the playoffs or got knocked out, we'd probably be hearing the same thing, right? About what their coaches don't know and how bad their coordinators are or how bad that quarterback, whatever. I mean, every team that's not going to get there has a complaint. So just good to see it's not just out here in Seattle. All right, coming up, we'll continue our Seahawks free agent countdown. We're going to take a look at a new handful of names. Some complicated situations surrounding a couple of these guys. We'll get into that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, Paul Moyer will join us. Talk some football with him, get his take on the offensive coordinator search. But we started this yesterday, taking a look at Seahawks free agents. We call it the Seahawks free agent countdown. Do we have our open? Oh,
If you give me a moment, I'm sorry. This is new. I'm doing a few things back here.
Okay.
Howdy put together a nice open for us, but I was trying to tell you right before the break that I forgot to get that ready.
Well,
it's got a very long title.
Does it?
So it
Seahawks
took me a second to find it and try to get it ready here. Yeah.
Seahawks free agent countdown. We got creative with the title. But we took a look at three players yesterday. And what Dave and I are doing each day, kind of working our way up, for those that didn't hear yesterday, working our way up from the bottom with the lesser known names, the role players, if you will. And we'll get into Chris Carson and KJ Wright and Shaquille Griffin and all those. Each and every day, we'll work our way up to that. But here it is.
Wyman and Bob present the Seahawks Free Agent Countdown.
Hey, let's go! Let's go!
A deeper look at the Hawks' free agents and the implications of re-signing each one.
Once guys kind of earn their way with us, you know, and they become part of the spirit of how we do things, then they are always our guys. We got a little bit of a soft spot for our guys.
Now, here's Wyman and Bob.
Hart, you know, he put in all that work on that open. We can't let that work go to waste. Can't
Howdy.
Go for not. Yeah. Yeah. So we took a look at three guys yesterday. One of them made it. The other two, we said, they're going to go. So we got three more names we're looking at
And the
there.
One was DeMontre Moore.
Yeah, he's the one that's staying.
Yeah.
The two that were leaving were Bullard and
Jonathan
Lano Hill.
Bullard and Lano Hill.
Yeah. And I think the Lano Hill one would be hurtful for Pete. He seems to have been in his corner this whole time when nobody else could understand why. But here we are. So now we're taking a look at defensive end, Brandon Jackson, receiver, Josh Gordon, and safety, Demarius Randall. Now, here's Pete talking about Brandon Jackson. He's somebody that he kind of was in that Lano Hill area, not so much that fans were down on him, but couldn't really get out there on a consistent basis dealing with injuries. But Pete and the organization seemed to really be excited about what he could potentially do. But here he is talking about why they didn't want him playing after a neck injury.
From the docs, you know, it's a situation where they don't recommend him playing this season. And he really came out of that episode okay. But it did, just in the testing and showing, it did show him that he had a physical kind of a trait that would, it's one to protect. And so everybody's been convinced that the best thing to do is for him not to play this year. And I don't know that that's forever, but I do know for right now. And he's not injured right now, he's susceptible.
Yeah, that's really scary.
Yeah, that's not good. He's not injured right now, but he's susceptible. All right, yeah. So does he become more durable?
Yeah, and Brandon Jackson, this will be his fifth year coming up. I would describe him, I like what you said, Bob. He's a nice player. You know, he's a guy, he's the back end of your roster that you fill in with. Mm-hmm. If he's not too much, and, you know, for a fifth-year guy, you know, he's probably going to make between, you know, around $900,000 if mm-hmm. you pay him. That's like the minimum. And that's probably what he'll get, unless he thinks he can find something, you know, somewhere else. But I'm very thankful that I never had anything like that. The closest thing I ever had was one time I hit Ron Wolfley, you know, who's the color guy for Arizona.
Arizona, yeah.
Hit him in the head, and my left foot got a stinger. Like, my entire left foot just, like, vibrated like somebody put electricity in there. I'm like, that's not good. That's not good.
Was it still workable?
Still worked and everything, but I'm like, why wouldn't, when I hit somebody in the head, would my left foot go, like, numb? That was really weird. But, I mean, other than that, I haven't had much of that stuff. But I was there at the mock game when Brandon Jackson got hurt, and I remember thinking it was fairly innocuous. The hit wasn't, it was kind of like the Patrick Mahomes thing,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that part's scary. So, I mean, the reason why I'm going into that is I wonder if he's going to play. I mean, if you have something like that, and then they tell you, well, you've got the narrowing of the spine or something like that. Talked about that with the defensive coordinator for the Jets, that Frank Bush that took over when they fired Greg Williams. He was a good player and a high draft choice, and he had that, you know, where he got a neck injury, and they said you have narrowing of the spine, and it's like, okay, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
You could get paralyzed possibly. So.
Yeah, and you've seen, I mean, obviously Ricardo Lockett had not the same thing, but you're just talking about if they play, here's the risk. Cliff Avril. Right. Yep. Cam Chancellor. So, yeah, I mean, it's a collision sport where your head is more often involved than not. Makes sense. And,
yeah.
And so I wouldn't be counting on him playing.
Yeah.
And based on the way Pete sounded there, especially.
Right. And for that reason, you know, I would say he's probably out.
He's out. All right. Yeah. Now, what do we think of Josh Gordon? I root for this guy because of the way he was received in that locker room, the way the players loved him, the way that the coaching staff loved him. The way that he's not been the device. I know he's had 8 million chances. I'm not debating he hasn't gotten a chance.
But he hasn't been that Antonio Brown. He hasn't been that locker room cancer, the guy that's the divisive figure in there. He's the biggest victim in all of this has been him. He's got a disease that he's obviously had a hard time. He has not overcome it. Still not certain what happened most recently where he was off the list and then he got put back onto the list and never heard why, what happened. Did he miss a test, fail a test? We have no idea. But I don't think he's going to play again.
I don't
think he's going to play again. If he could, I'd love him on the roster, but I just don't think he's going to play again. I don't see it.
One of the great tragedies in the NFL that occurs that, you know, we talk about Brandon Jackson and just not knowing that he has, you know, something wrong with his neck, but this is just a waste of talent. And I'm not saying that in a mean, negative way towards Josh Gordon. Like you said, he has a disease. It just never felt like he was going to get it right. And again, a shame. I know you and I have talked about this. Who were the quarterbacks we decided that threw to him in 2013?
Brandon Whedon.
Whedon and...
who else was out there? I'm trying to... They are one of those teams that have had 20-plus quarterbacks in
right.
the Tom Brady era. So it could have been Couch. Wait, Jason Campbell was
Campbell,
the other one.
Thank you.
Jason Campbell. Another first-round pick that did nothing.
2013. Yeah, exactly. That probably everybody thought was, you know...
I think he was drafted by Washington, but they were a team that had 20... plus in that era as well.
Yeah, so 14 games he played in. He missed two. 1,646 yards, 19-yard average, 9 touchdowns. So, I mean, the guy
with
obviously...
Whedon and Campbell throwing him the
right.
ball.
And then there was like a third, I think, quarterback that played for two that was a no-name guy. But, yeah, I mean, it's just such a shame that this guy has that much talent. And then there was an executive, and this was back in like 17 or 18, I'm trying to remember who it was, but he said when he worked him out, it was the most impressive workout he had ever seen. And Josh Gordon, just so athletic and fast. And, you know, we saw the catch in Carolina where he has caught a 50-yard pass, the back half of the football. But it just doesn't seem like he's ever going to get right, Saturday.
No, unfortunately. So that's another one is probably gone. So we're 0-for-2. What about Demaryius Randle? Safety Demaryius Randle, who... made $910,000 last year. As we talked about, the number that's out there in terms of salary cap space for the Seahawks right now is just under $1 million. So moves are going to need to be made here. But what's your take on Randle?
Well, I mean, I just think he's one of those emergency guys. I remember him, I believe they activated him in Miami. Remember we went to Miami down there and there was like, I think, Shaquille was in, but there was like three or four guys. Leno was out. Yeah, I think Dunbar was out, and so they had to activate him. But, I mean, he's got a couple of picks for touchdowns in his career. You know, I mean, he's not a bad player. He's kind of a back-end player, but like you said, for $900,000, you could probably draft somebody and bring him in that would, you know, possibly fill that. So I'm afraid we're going 0-for-3 for me
0-for-3 today. Hey, you got to make tough cuts. This is a business, Dave. They don't have a lot of room to work with. So
right.
we're unfortunately having to make the tough cuts. So none of the three that we just listed today, defensive end Brandon Jackson, receiver Josh Gordon, or safety Demaryius Randle are going to make it to next year's roster. Just if you and I are co-GMs, it's just not going to work out that way.
Nobody's offered us a job yet, but I think by the time we're done here.
Yeah, based on this segment and when we wrap it up, phone's going to be ringing.
Yeah.
Phone's going to be ringing.
You with me? All right. Maura's laughing. Why are you laughing at that?
Not. I'm excited for it.
Oh, okay.
Endorsing.
Yeah. So we'll do that every day. We'll take a look at a handful of players each and every day till we get to the end of the list of free agents. Meanwhile, Paul Moyer will join us, talk about the ongoing search for the Seahawks offensive coordinator and what he saw from the way the Packers were able to handle the Rams last week. That is coming up next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.